Hey, Scott, we're back. I don't know if you're awake or not, but we're back. Yeah, we're okay. The only trouble is I can't lower the sound of the music while you're on Skype because it lowers your sound. So we'll... How about if I just do that? Oh, I can't hear you at all then. Hang on, we'll hold on here just a second. We've only got 13 seconds till the music goes away. You're listening to On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble, and Scott Spears is on the other line. He's doing it from home. He's in his jammies. Howdy.
I'm doing well. Now, now, did you hit record okay?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay. Now, for some reason, when the theme song was playing, I was having a little trouble hearing you, but I'm good now.
Okay, yeah, the theme song is in that far to the pot, far to the right, the red pot, and when I turned it down, I couldn't hear you at all, and so I guess we'll learn as we go, right?
I think I'm coming up on the same pot as the theme song.
Yeah.
When the theme song plays, I can't talk.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to play the theme song for the next 45 minutes. No, I'm sorry.
Well, boy, it'd be better than those promos you give.
You got that right. Hey, go ahead.
Tell people what's coming up today on WWGH Radio.
I have no idea. I'm going to be on at 12:15 with Dr. Ronald Feynman, and which I call, sometimes I call him something else, but not today. But, hey, I did find out what the name of the person who does sound effects on movies is. He's called a Foley artist. Have you ever
Foley
heard that?
Foley artist.
Foley artist. F-O-L-E-Y. And, you know, also, I'm always, when I look at the credits sometimes, if they're not rolling by at 45,000 miles per hour, there's always the best boy. And I was, why would you want to be a best boy? Well, actually, I believe Reverend Kiger's son, Matthew, I think it was Matthew, or was it Daniel? It was Daniel, was a best boy for a while out in Hollywood, I think. And a best boy is like the number two guy. He's an assistant in the department. He can either be an assistant in the electrical department or assistant as a grip. And that's what they call it, a grip. I want to be one of those. I want to be a best boy grip. I like the name.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I did a little looking up. I also looked up a couple questions that we can ask people. We're still trying to get what your favorite fruit is. Mine was the strawberry. We already got that. And we haven't gotten yours yet.
No, we did get yours was the strawberry.
Right.
But we're looking for my favorite fruit, and that will get you into the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast on Saturday, or at least get you into the competition.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the competition. I want to see some fighting and hair pulling and stuff.
Well, it'll all come up tomorrow morning at 9:15 a.m.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be handling that, right? I don't have to come in for that, right?
No. I'll be on tomorrow morning from 8 to 10, and we'll do some more pancake trivia questions, and at the end, we'll do the drawing.
Yeah, cool. Are you having a good time sitting there in your... you're not in jammies, but you're sleeping attire?
Well, lounge clothes is what I would probably
say. Ah, lounge clothes. Okay. You know, I did look up because I was afraid that my favorite fruit, the strawberry, might not be considered a fruit because its seeds are on the outside, but it does have seeds on the berry, so it's considered a fruit. I was afraid maybe I had made a faux pas. What's a faux pas?
Faux pas.
Faux pas. Okay.
Faux pas. Now, what is the... Now, again, for people who are interested, what is the difference between a fruit and a vegetable?
Well, a vegetable has... a fruit has the seeds inside of it, and a vegetable really doesn't. It's in many cases, I believe it is the seed. But I'll ask Dr. Marilyn Coleman tomorrow when she's on my show at 11 or 10:15. She's the head of a garden club here in the area, and maybe she can tell me exactly. I don't believe potato is considered a vegetable, nor is carrot, because they are tubers. They are underground. They are part of a root. There's all sorts of BS like that. Oh, hey, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone. What do you say?
Go for it.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, I heard that a tomato is not a vegetable. It's actually a fruit.
Yeah, that's right, because the seeds are on the inside. You got that right. Unfortunately, we're not giving away anything for getting that right.
Well, I was thinking about the strawberry after that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I think it's the tomato that's considered the fruit.
Yeah, and let's see, there are several items like that. And I think cucumber is considered a fruit because it has the seeds on the inside. So.
Oh, I can't stand cucumbers.
Oh, I love cucumbers.
I want to make a pickle out of them.
You've got to have cucumber salad every once in a while.
No.
No, not going to do it, huh? How about you, Scott? Do you like cucumbers?
Well, cucumbers are okay. I like to dip them in ranch dip.
Let me take a shot at Scott's favorite fruit, blueberries.
Not blueberries, but that's a good guess.
Nope. Okay.
All right. Thanks for trying. You always tell people it's a good guess. I'm not so certain you're sincere about that.
Now, I think that comes from school days, where every good answer, or every answer is a good answer.
Yeah.
It's not the right answer.
Are you a fan of giving every kid a trophy, even though he... Let's say his team lost every single contest, but at the end of the season, you give everybody a participation trophy.
Well, see, I'm not really sure how that works because now if you lose, if you score less runs, even though you got a trophy, what does it mean? What does it say? I guess I don't understand that.
Well, I'm kind of that way, it may be a gender thing. I don't know. My daughter, who was a college athlete and also a college coach, she thinks participation trophies are good. My wife thinks participation trophies are good. My eldest son and I think they're stupid. And my youngest son has no comment anytime I ask him about it, so I don't know.
Just doesn't care.
No, doesn't care.
It's hard to say because I would think even though you got a trophy, that when I used to bowl when I was younger, mm-hmm. I remember the award ceremony and they used to give, you know, first, second, third, fourth place.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you knew what second place was even though you got a trophy.
You were the loser.
Right. You were not the winner. So, I mean, the Olympics does this. Gold, yeah. Medal, silver, bronze.
Yep.
So I'm not sure why people get so hung up on giving trophies. If you got a trophy, it doesn't necessarily mean you won.
Right. I guess that's true. Participation trophies, I guess, are a nice thing to have. A good friend of mine, Gary Tuttle, who I've had on the air a couple times, he actually held the national world record for the 20K speed. He came in second, I think, in the Boston Marathon once, and maybe placed it one other time. But anyway, I have asked him about participation trophies, and I think he kind of avoided my question. I'm going to ask him next time the Boston comes around and I interview him if he likes them or not. But I'm going to see him when we head out to California. He's a good friend of my son's. And we'll talk about that. Matter of fact, maybe I'll call in and we'll be on the air talking about that.
Yeah. Well, now, how do you go to California?
Slowly in my car.
With the gas prices like this, it's going to be a little pricey.
Yeah, I've figured it out. It's going to cost me about $1,600 round trip, maybe $1,700. Depends on where the gas price goes to. And if I flew out there, it would cost me about $700. So it's an extra $1,000. But that's because I go to hotels all the way out there. I go to the cheapest chain hotel you can. It has a number in its name. And we stay there because they allow puppy dogs to stay with you. And so the motel rooms cost, you know, five nights cost us about, what is that, about $300 extra. So, but we enjoy it. We like seeing the country.
Now, what states do you go through?
We go through, well, obviously, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's kind of fun. It's also kind of boring because it's about 425 miles every day. Sometimes I think the longest day is closer to 500, and the shortest day is closer to 350. And it takes a lot. It wears on you after about the third day. You're saying, "Why aren't we there?"
I can imagine. Now, do you stop a lot?
No. Yeah, we stop for lunch. But that's about it. And we're going to be driving with Buddy, our new executive producer on my show. And Buddy, he's a four-legged executive producer. He is not a Foley artist. But he has to go tinkle about every 2 or 3 hours. So, and now, my wife has to tinkle about every 30 minutes. So.
Well, there you go. Now, what comes up today at 12:15? What's on the show today?
Oh, boy, I tell you what. You know the main thing that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Ukraine and all the horrible things that are going on in the Ukraine. Aren't you? I put up on my Facebook a picture. I took my picture down and put up a picture of the sunflower, which is the Ukraine's national bird, national flower. And we're going to talk about all the stuff that's going on there. And is there anything that we can do, to maybe help the Ukrainian people out? Also, we're going to talk about, the gas prices zooming. One side of the aisle says the gas prices zooming is because we have President Biden as our president, and the other side is a little bit more clear about the fact that the oil is being cut off because of the war. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll probably talk about other things around that sort of thing.
You know what has surprised me about the Ukraine situation is there are people, like last night, somebody who I know has no interest in politics. I mean, they vote. I don't think they vote in all the elections. I probably have never had a hugely political conversation with them. They are not in radio. They are not in politics. They're not even a name that you would know. But they wanted to talk about Ukraine. It was, isn't it awful what we're seeing?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised at the amount of that that's going on, because I don't remember seeing or hearing that during what was going on in Syria. It seems to me like people are very, very disturbed by this.
Well, I think people are inspired by the Ukrainian people and their strength to fight back and say, no, you're not going to take us over. I mean, they're getting killed by the thousands, and yet they're still willing to. I watched a guy this morning who was driving around, I don't remember which town it was, whether it was Kyiv or, but he was driving around, and he was, I believe, an American Ukrainian who had pulled up stakes and gone back to Ukraine, just to help out. And the person who was interviewing him said, "Aren't you worried you're going to get killed?" Well, he didn't think about it. He was just trying to help out the Ukraine people.
But here's the reality of the situation, which is horrible. Yeah. They're not going to defeat Russia.
No.
And he's not going to stop.
Right.
So they are going to be defeated, and it's just going to be, what is the casualty level going to be? And the other thing that's a truity is we're not going to interfere. It's a very, very awful situation,
yep.
And it's going to be awful until it's over. And when it's over, Russia will control the Ukraine, and that's that. And it's you know, the should we have intervened? I don't know.
Well, my thought is it's going to be a lot like the French partisans. The French partisans went to the bomb shelters, but they continued to fight all the way through till the end of the war. Hey, we've got a phone call. Let's go to the phone, okay? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this Ukraine situation in Russia.
Yep.
You know, we have dealt with Russia ever since World War II.
Yep.
You know, with the Cold War. You know, and it's coming down to we don't really need to worry about their nuclear weapons. I don't think they'd ever go to nuclear weapons. But we need to stand up to them militarily, you know, in this Ukraine thing, and kick their butts.
Boy, I feel the same way. I'm not sure I would say that to anybody in public.
Well,
but
you know, they've already talked about the morale in the Russian military isn't, you know, what it should be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, they lied to their people. I don't think we'd have any problems with them.
What do you think, Scott? Do you think they would go to the nuclear option?
Oop. Do I think Russia would?
Yeah.
Well, if they felt backed into a corner, I think they would.
That's what I'm afraid of, yeah.
I think they might go to the nuclear option if we was to invade homeland and go, you know, to Moscow to take over Russia. I think, you know, that might lead to, but to just, you know, take our military, you know, especially our Air Force in there, and kick them the heck out of there and show them that we're not going to stand up to their crap time after time and be threatened by them.
I think
but you know the American people do not want to be involved in a war.
Right.
Well, that's true.
This happened in Syria. There was a red line given, and it was said to President Obama. Obama said, do not cross this line, or we are going to come in. Well, I don't remember exactly what he said, but just don't cross this line or bad stuff's going to happen.
And they did.
Syria crossed the line and nothing happened.
Yeah.
The problem is we've been involved with Afghanistan and Iraq, two wars that we never should have been involved in really in the first place. And, you know, the American public is would not, you know, really be wanting to get into another war right now. Okay. But if those wars hadn't happened, it might be a little bit different.
It's kind of different if you have sons or grandsons or granddaughters or regular daughters that might end up over there. I think a lot of people, I know my wife would absolutely hate the idea of, I have a 16-year-old grandson, and she would absolutely hate the idea if we decided we were going to inscript him.
It's a little bit like the bully, you know.
Yeah.
The bully might pick on you all the time. Well, if you hit him in the mouth one time.
Yeah.
And maybe take a beating yourself a little bit afterwards.
Yeah. Or if you throw him down a stairwell, which
that could work too.
Yeah.
But, you know, you might, you know, get a good lick on him. Maybe he would come back and, you know, kick your butt pretty good. But he's not going to mess with you. From now on, he doesn't really want to mess with you.
Yeah.
Because if he thinks you're going to, you know, come back at him or something,
he'll find something easier to pick on.
Somebody easier.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's true.
But that's just my feelings on it. I mean, we got to, you know, quit letting them, you know, push their weight around.
Well, it's pretty
especially in this situation. I mean, that's aggression against another country.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have Iraq. We don't have Afghanistan now. You know, we don't have Germany. We don't have, you know, all those countries, you know, eventually got their countries back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't want to be involved in a war. I mean, when President Biden stands up in the State of the Union and says, no boots on the ground, no fly zones. I mean, he's telling you we're not going to do that. And we've never wanted to be in a war with the Soviet Union and or Russia ever.
Well, no, but
and Russia is not Afghanistan or Iraq. Iraq is like a speck of dirt compared to Russia. And Iraq didn't have nuclear weapons. And to my knowledge, Afghanistan didn't have them. Russia has them.
Yeah, but I don't think Russia would use the nuclear weapons just to be pushed out of Ukraine.
Yeah, but are you willing to bet the entire civilization of the earth on that? I don't know. I think that's the problem a president has to face.
Well, I think before, you know, there's a lot of other people besides Putin that's in the government and, you know, has a little bit of influence over there.
Yeah.
And I don't think all of them people would rather, you know, die with nuclear weapons like Putin may be.
You wouldn't think so. Now, I did put a tweet on the air. I guess you'd call me a pacifist, and I do not believe in, like, the death penalty, and I do not believe that we kill an eye for an eye, that sort of thing. But I pointed out there are probably two or three guys like Putin in this world that I wouldn't mind seeing assassinated. And I know that's really rough coming from me, but I wonder if we haven't thought about how we can assassinate the guy. I mean, you know, even animals go against an animal in their own family if that animal has gone nuts.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, some of Hitler's, you know, generals.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to go against him, too. But
they paid the price. Yeah.
But I agree with the capital punishment in certain circumstances. But, you know, an eye for eye and tooth for tooth, I mean, you know, that could be carried a little bit too extreme, but...
And we quite often pick the wrong eye, you know, we think...
Yeah, that could happen, too.
Yeah. Anyway, well, thank you for your call. You ought to listen to the show with Dr. Feynman coming up next.
You
know he'll talk about that.
Yeah, I like listening to him.
Yeah, all right. Thanks
okay.
for calling in.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, interesting discussion, Scott.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is nobody wants to see the Ukrainian people get killed.
Nope.
Nobody wants to see anybody get killed, but... people do not want to see American troops in active combat. You don't want it.
We've had enough of it. We have, in our 250 years of history, I think we've only had 24 years of peace. That's kind of scary.
Well, and I don't know. I don't think we do very well defending other countries. Our track record there is not great. Not that we lose, but we don't achieve what we want to achieve.
And quite often we go into it thinking we're going to nation build, which we never do. You can't build somebody else's nation for them, much like Russia's trying to do right now with Ukraine. They're trying to make them a Russian state so that they can bring back the glory of the Soviet Union, I guess.
Well, the problem is, as soon as the Ukraine is done, and I wish, you know, if there was a miracle that they could pull it out, that would be something. I don't think they're going to, but when that's done, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to turn toward the Baltic. Everybody seems to feel that he's going to turn toward the Baltic, and the Baltic is NATO, and...
Yep.
We do have to help protect there, and
yes.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
We have a solemn promise to those nations, yeah.
So what do we do if he turns to the Baltic?
Well, I think you got to bite the bullet and go for it, I guess. I am glad I am 75 years old and that I won't have to deal with too much more of this, but I do have children and grandchildren that it scares me for.
Well, I don't know. You know... It's a complicated thing because even when we come back to the gas prices, I understand why they're blaming this on President Biden, because it's the old Harry Truman thing. The buck stops here.
Absolutely.
If Trump were in office, if Obama were in office, if Bush were in office, we'd be blaming the president for skyrocketing gas prices because, unfortunately, the president with the Congress and the Senate makes the decisions on how to handle these things, and Biden, for whatever reason, does not have a good diplomatic relationship with Russia, and...
Or the Republican Party.
Yeah, but I, you know, It doesn't shock me that they're blaming Biden. Does it shock you?
No. Now, I don't remember ever blaming any, even Trump, who you know I didn't care for, but I don't think I ever blamed a president for rising costs or gave them credit for lowering costs. I know that's done by the market, so I don't know.
Well, the Democratic Party has to know that the literature I saw yesterday was we broke the record this week. We're likely going to continue to break the record through May. It's going to be top out at the average of $4.25 a gallon in May, and it's going to stay over $4 through November. So I think most Democrats, unless they are in very, very, very safe areas, can kiss it goodbye come November.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that in Europe, almost everywhere, the prices are over $5 a gallon. So it's something that the American people ought to put their big boy pants on and accept the fact that sometimes you've got to put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, but the scenario that's trickling out here is that we should not be so dependent on foreign oil,
yep,
which is why we should have the pipeline here in the United States. And that's the even if it's not true, that is the perception that people have right now, the voters.
Or that's the perception that people are pushing from one side of the aisle to make it look bad. And I really, it just annoys the heck out of me that people do that. I didn't do that when Trump was, you know, as far as money and prices go, I didn't do that for Trump. I didn't do that, I don't know what other Republican. I didn't say that about Reagan. You know, I give our presidents the fact that they have very little control over the cost of stuff. Now, there are some things they can do, little things, or maybe even big things, you know, like, what do they call it? You know, the financial guys, they raise and lower the cost of interest and stuff like that. And that can affect it, but it's not going to change it completely. I don't know.
But what do you do? I mean, if you are Biden, or you are a congressman, or you are a senator, I mean, what do you do with what's being laid out right here? You're slapping sanctions on left and right. I read where McDonald's closed all their restaurants in Russia, but they're still paying the employees. So what do you do?
If I were the head of something, I would sit down and I would think, what is the right thing to do? And I use, you know, I'm an atheist, but I still use the Bible as my guide of what's right and wrong. Now, the Bible is very similar on what's right and wrong to the Torah and the Quran and all the other books, religious books. I'd sit down and I'd say, what is the right thing for the people of the world? And that's what I would do.
What is that?
Well, right now, I'm kind of leaning the way our caller leaned, in that maybe we ought to kick some butt. I don't know.
I just don't know if it would be that simple.
I don't think it's simple. No, I don't either. I don't really.
And I don't know exactly what do you do. Do you try to help the Ukraine? Do you attack Russia? Do you... I'm not sure what you do.
Well, I think that's what Biden is trying to do by kind of semi-sanctioning the delivery of airplanes to the Ukraine pilots. They have, from what I understand, they have excellent pilots. They just don't have great equipment. But if we get them the MiGs, surprisingly enough, the Russian planes, if we get them the MiGs that are available to them, they might be able to compete on a level playing field, if you can do that in the air, and maybe take their own toll, which might cause... if not Putin, I think Putin's just nuts. I think he's going to do whatever a lot of young men do when they're trying to prove that they are the toughest of the world. I think he will do that. But maybe the people around him will say, hey, settle down. My grandson just went and got killed in Ukraine. We've got to stop this. You know, the oligarchs. I don't know if they will or not. I don't know.
But why is he doing this?
Because he's an... Well, I almost said a bad word.
Yeah, but I'm glad I cut you off. Why now?
I think he's nuts. Oh, we got a phone call. Let's go back to the phone, okay?
Go ahead.
All right. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, they was wanting to take those planes to a base in Germany.
Yeah.
And then fly them over to Ukraine.
Yeah.
And we're getting them static about that. We want to see them have them, but we're worried that Russia's going to have a bad view of us actually sending in the plane.
Well, we could do like Trump said. We could paint on the side of it the Chinese symbol and try and fool them into thinking they're Chinese planes. What a dumb stuff.
Well, yeah,
idea.
That's another thing we got to think of. Dealing here with Russia is we got China out there too.
Yeah.
And if China sees that Russia gets by with this just because they have nuclear weapons, and we stand idly by and let them do it. Well, what do you think China's going to do?
It's scary. It's a scary world we live in. I don't know, yeah.
But I don't think we need to attack Russia. We need to attack Russians that are in a country they know they do not belong. And when they hit the border, we stop.
Well, I saw a very interesting interview with three Russians that were captured in Ukraine. They were not soldiers, they were policemen. And I'm putting that in air quotes. I don't know what a policeman was doing there, but they were. And they basically told their own people, this is stupid what we're doing. We're attacking people, children and women, for no reason at all. And the interview was...
but most Russians don't actually know what's going on over there.
They pointed that out, yes. And
they only know what the Russia media is telling them. And, they've shut down social media over there so they can't get no outside...
Right.
Now,
in this interview, or after this interview, they mentioned that 11 million people live in Russia who have relatives in Ukraine. And if those people, the 11 million people, are told by their friend or family that lives in Ukraine, and these are all 11 million family members, if they are all told what's the truth, maybe it will change things. But this person also said... he had called his, I think it was father or his mother, and they had heard so much on Soviet or Russian television that what terrible people Ukrainians were that they wouldn't believe their own son who was in Ukraine.
Well, Russian people think that they're over there kicking the Nazis out of Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what they're telling.
They believe.
Crazy. All right, well, we're not going to solve the problems of the world here, but...
We give them a few ideas, huh?
Let's hope. Hey, Scott, what do you think? I'm going to cut our caller off.
Quiet, isn't he?
I'm sorry?
Scott's being a little quiet.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're kind of confusing things here. We've got him at home and me here and you there. So
yeah.
It's kind of confusing. But thanks for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Well, no, it's interesting, because I do want to hear what everybody has to say, and I think this is one of those times where the maxim of I never learned anything when I was talking comes in.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear what other people have to say, and I just, at this point, I don't have any answer to this, and I think anybody who does come in with an answer is it's just an opinion, because if I was the president of the United States and I was a member of Congress or anywhere, I know that people do not want war.
Yeah.
So all this idea of going in and doing something to Russia or helping Ukraine, that ain't going to float. I mean, you can talk about it all day long, but people don't want to do it. People aren't going to do it. And, frankly, the Ukraine is not an ally of the United States, so we have no obligation to do it, and we're not going to do it.
Well, now, I think a lot of us would like to do it, but we're scared to death of nuclear war, and I think we're right to be scared to death of nuclear war.
Well, right, but is that the problem then? See, I'm confused on the problem. Is the problem that if we go into Ukraine that there's going to be nuclear war, or is the problem going to be we don't want boots on the ground, or is the problem going to be we don't want to be involved in another foreign conflict? I'm not exactly sure what the impetus is.
Well, we've got a caller. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm 92 years old, mm-hmm. and in my opinion, United Nations or United States should have bombed Russia the minute they crossed the border.
Well, you go along with our other caller that you think we need to be tough. Yeah.
Absolutely. Why are we putting up with this all this time, letting those people get killed?
I think the thing it all gets back to is nuclear war. People are scared to death of nuclear war.
Nothing's going
to
stop him but force.
Yeah. Well, you and I are old enough that we've had a good life. But
that's right.
My grandchildren, I am afraid for them. But we'll see. Yeah. I respect your opinion, and thanks for calling in.
Okay,
thank
you.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. Yeah, that's,
you know, there is a reason that the conflict that went on from the 1940s
yep.
through the 1990s with the United States and the Soviet Union was called the Cold War.
Yeah.
There was never a missile fired because we did not want nuclear warfare. I mean, are people forgetting the Cuban Missile Crisis or things of this nature? I mean, we've done this before.
Yeah.
It's not like we have not been at odds with Russia, and the threat has always been nuclear war. And that's why we don't do it.
And to say we can't do it is not correct. We could do it, but then I'll guarantee you there would be a lot of second guessing, or maybe there wouldn't be anybody around to second guess after the fact if we went in. It's a terrible problem.
Well, I just don't know where the idea... Putin's biggest character trait, my understanding, I don't know the guy, is that he hates to look weak. If we bombed him back, not using nuclear weapons, if we bombed him back into his country, he's going to look weak to the world.
Yeah.
And that ain't going to float.
He definitely has a Napoleon complex.
Right, and do you think if we bombed him back out of Ukraine, you think that's just going to be peace on earth?
Oh, absolutely not. That's what I'm afraid of, yeah.
Right, so what do you do? I mean, we did not go after Joseph Stalin. We did not go after Mikhail Gorbachev. We did not go after all those Russian leaders that were in charge over the Cold War era because we all feared that they were going to nuke the world.
And fortunately, they felt the same concern because otherwise the missile crisis could have ended up in World War III.
Right, and Putin's got that concern. I have no doubt about that. But we can't fire on him. We never fired on any of those leaders.
No. And I wonder, in the back rooms, I wonder what Kennedy told his people, okay, if they totally disregard us, what do we do then? I'm sure they talked about that.
Was it Lenin who was in the Soviet dictator then?
No, it was Khrushchev.
Khrushchev.
Yeah.
And apparently we've learned through time that they were back-channeling, he and Kennedy.
Yes, that's right. We did find that out. Hey, we got another phone caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn, so we just let other countries do whatever the hell they want to us or any other country, and we just don't do nothing, just sit back and do nothing?
I think there are several of us, and I'm putting my name in on this, that hate that thought, yes. Unfortunately, I'm not the person that's going to make that decision, and I don't know.
Me personally, and I heard you earlier, if someone was to walk in my house and kill my son or my daughter or my old lady, you know that about that death penalty, if they do that to me, I am sure that I will live my life until that dude gets put in the electric chair or he gets the needle, because someone doing that stuff, just like Adolf Hitler, you know, he deserved to die.
Yeah.
You know?
And unfortunately, he killed himself.
Yeah, but the problem also is here is that Stalin was killing his own people when we got in bed with him in World War II.
Yeah, he was.
So
yeah.
He's not a nice man. And yeah. also, there were all kinds of awful things going on in the Soviet Union all those years that we knew about, that we never did anything from the 1940s until the 1990s. And we know Putin is killing his political opponents. I don't know why this is a shock all of a sudden that Putin's a bad guy. Well, he's been killing his political opponents and fixing elections for 20 years.
Yep.
I mean, he's KGB.
So just because they've got nuclear weapons, we just sit and we're just scared and we're just a pushover, and that's what we're saying now?
That's why on Twitter I pointed out that I don't believe in killing people, but I think an assassination of Putin would not be a bad thing.
We went in and we got the one who killed, did that World Trade Center, I mean...
Bin Laden?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Also, remember, and people forget this, World War II... We knew what was going on in Germany, the slaughter of the Jewish people. We did not get involved until Japan attacked us.
Yeah.
And a matter of fact, the all-powerful Franklin Roosevelt at that time, who was in his third term, promised the country he would not get involved in World War II. He would not risk American boys' lives because he felt he could not get reelected if that were the case. And had Japan not bombed us, I don't know if we would have got involved. Franklin Roosevelt died not too long into the fourth term.
Yeah.
So I really don't know. But, you know, the problem also is that that's been the case with all the presidents. Nobody is going to support a president who wants to get us involved in a war in which the United States has not been attacked. The only country we ever attacked in a war that didn't attack us first was Iraq.
Hmm. Interesting statements.
But, you know, I would support any president that wouldn't put up with no crap from nobody and that would stand up for American people and defend us like you're supposed to.
What are they doing to us, I guess, is the point. I mean, it's horrible what they're doing to the Ukrainians, but what are they doing to the United States?
Oh, making us feel like we're threatened, you know, just because they got nuclear weapons, like we're scared of them.
Yeah, it's a horrible question to try and answer. That's all I can say.
Well, Glenn, I mean, what do you think? I mean, isn't that the maxim that we always had? Wasn't that what we always laid on President W. Bush, that's the first war in United States history, official war, declared war, that we got into where we were not attacked first?
Yeah, and it was probably a bad choice.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, has Russia attacked us?
They haven't yet. And I think if they attack a NATO country, it will be like the attack on Pearl Harbor. I think that will end our fear. I don't think we're afraid of it as much as we're concerned, you know? I don't know. That's why your vote counts. Vote for people that'll do what you believe.
Yeah.
All I say is this, and it's just my prediction. If Biden went to war with Russia today, if he announced that and got Congress's support, his approval rating would be in the 30s.
Well, it's already getting close.
it would go lower.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to the caller. Good points. I like hearing the concern. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. All right. We're back, and we've got about two minutes, Scott.
Yeah, well, I mean, all I'm doing here is trying to give be an analyst and trying to say these are the situations. And nobody wants to see the Ukrainian people slaughtered. I mean, who wants to see that?
No.
But
Putin.
Putin. But at this point, what in the world do you do?
That's why you vote for people that you consider are intelligent, thoughtful people who will get very intelligent people around them. And they may make the wrong choice, but at least they're a lot smarter than we are, I think. I hope.
But people don't like what we're doing now. You've heard it from the call. Every caller today has disagreed with Biden. Absolutely. They want to go to war. They want to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah. And I think I've heard people talking about what Trump would do in this situation. I think he'd probably do pretty much the same thing that we're doing right now. But
I don't know. You know, to be honest with you, Trump did have a good relationship with Putin, whatever that was, and people can say it for a thousand reasons, whatever the reason was.
The videotapes.
Okay, yeah, whatever the reason is. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know what would have happened if he would have been a president.
I don't either.
I don't think it would have been war.
Yeah, no, I think he would have gotten in bed with Biden, but
I don't think in bed. I think what would have happened
is a bad choice of words.
I think we would have stayed down like we're doing right now.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, we're cutting it awful close here, Scott. We've only got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. I'll be back tomorrow morning giving away those pancake tickets.
All right. Talk to you later.
Have a good show.
You too. Bye bye. All right. We're back off the air now.
WWGH Radio, LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. The Talking.